Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to another week of Inside the Huddle. Guess I'm going to go solo today. Don's out. Got Cindy in here running the board. Appreciate that. I've got a possible guest anchor here in a little bit. We'll see how things go. Maybe we'll get him on the air. So we'll kind of tease that for right now. But I think we're waiting on our first caller, and that'll be John Eason. He's with Frankfort Little League. They're supposed to have their opening day today at Frankfort, but with Mother Nature not cooperating, I think Frankfort Little League's rained out today. So we're still going to talk with John and talk about all the exciting things happening at Frankfort Little League. Up at the second quarter or the second inning today will be Andrew Quinn. He's the boss of the Bulldog baseball team out at Clinton Central. At 9:30 in the third quarter, Caden Davis, Clinton Prairie senior, super athlete at Clinton Prairie. Unbelievable amount of sports he's played out there. We're going to talk to him. He's had a tremendous track season. And then at fourth quarter, Kurt Slicker, the CP football coach. They have a monster event going on tonight at the Eagles, and we want to make sure everybody knows about it. But is our first caller on, Cindy?
Not yet.
Okay.
We are still waiting.
All right. Well, we'll talk here a little bit.
That sounds fine.
Hey, you kind of let me know here, and I'm trying to put you on the spot, but our own Carl Kercheval and his family are needing some help this week. And if you wanted to talk about that real quick, an event that's going on at Michigan Town tonight, I believe it. I think you said the Michigan Town Christian Church. And talk about what that would mean for Carl if you guys all show up and help support his family.
Absolutely. It's from 5 o'clock until 7 at the Michigan Town Christian Church. Unfortunately, his brother Kent is battling pancreatic cancer. And so this is a benefit for them. And so... that is tonight, 5 o'clock until 7, again, Michigan Town Christian Church, and they're doing a silent auction as well, and they really have some nice things for the silent auction. They've got a Purdue autographed ball from Coach Matt Painter. They've got things like hedge trimmers, wreaths, flower stands, flowers, artwork, decor. They have Indiana Beach tickets that's part of that as well. And so if you can help out, let's see what else it's telling me here. Join them. Free will offering for dinner and auction tonight, so dinner as well. Wow. I don't have on here what they're serving tonight, but really doesn't matter. All kinds of items, though. And so that is tonight, 5 o'clock until 7 at Michigan
Town. And that's Carl's brother?
Carl's brother, Kent. Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you guys don't know who Carl is, he's part of a Don and Carl show that do all the high school sports here in Clinton County that kind of spurred Don and I to start, you know, come in here and do Inside the Huddle. And I... hopefully have our first caller on the line. That'll be John Eason. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mr. Blacker. How's it going?
Hey, you can leave that Mr. part out.
Mr. Blacker.
Well, there's like a little...
he's in here too, actually, though.
There's a part of this you don't know, Cindy. He also works at the Lafayette Fire Department. So he didn't address me the other way. I guess he could have called me Deputy Chief, but that's all right.
That's right.
Hey, John, I appreciate you being on. This is not your first time calling in. We've had you on Party Line many times. We had you last year, I think, for opening day. But let's talk a little bit about Frankfort Little League. Last week we talked with Chops about the Middle League, and we're going to try to get equal time to everybody in the community. But let's hear, how many kids you got playing here for the Frankfort Little League this year?
We have over 130 kids.
Wow.
And we have five different groups. We have T-ball, 6U, 8U, 10U, 12U. And they're pretty spread out. T-ball is usually our biggest group of kids. Kids getting into the league, just learning ball. And that's my favorite age group.
But today you were supposed to have opening day. Let's go over that real quick here in case people had plans to attend your event. Think you're going to have to postpone this, or what's your plans for today?
So, unfortunately, we had the fields ready to go and everything, and Mother Nature was not kind to us. We had a parade set up with police and fire and everything, and introduce the kids, talk about the All-Stars from last year, talk about the Jeff Emery Award winners, and Mother Nature did not allow us to do that. We were planning on doing it next weekend, but due to scheduling conflicts, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to make it. I mean, like most leagues, everything's volunteer-ran, and if we don't have volunteers, we can't really do it.
Well, hopefully it works out for you to do that next week. I know I've seen pictures in the past, and that's a great event for the kids, especially for the community coming together, the police and fire, and everybody make that exciting day. But let's talk a little bit about that T-ball program you have going on. Can you explain what T-ball is to our listeners and how important that is to get those youngsters in at an early age to get committed into your program?
Yes, we tried to go, well, last year we mistakenly went like away from T-ball and started using a machine for the little kids, and they weren't really ready. So now our 4 and 5 year olds just getting into the league, trying to get them, trying to teach them how to throw a ball, trying to get them hitting off a tee and stuff, and just learning the basics, like running the bases and everything. And and like the YMCA or the Corps now, they've went away from it, so everything is just driven through the league, which is it's a good thing, I guess, because then we can file them all in and then hopefully keep them in our league.
So the T-ball, that could also probably be boys and girls both, I take it.
Correct. And we don't, and if a little girl wants to play baseball, we have no problems with them playing baseball. We try to push them to softball if they'd like to stay in softball, but if they want to play with us, we have no issues with that.
And everybody's a winner in T-ball, right, John? There's no runs counted or anything like that. At the end of the day, everybody's just happy to get out on the field and play a couple innings against each other and learn the game.
Correct. Yeah. Everybody just gets up, hits the ball, get one base, try to get the kids to throw the ball in. Most of them are just running around, just colliding with each other, having a good time.
And as a former president of a youth baseball organization and softball, I know you get tremendous crowds for the T-ball, because you get grandma and grandpa on both sides and all the aunts and uncles and the neighbors and everybody, because they want to see them out there for the first time because it's so cute. And the other part of it is you just never know what some of those little youngsters are going to do.
That's definitely a fact. We have some kids sometimes run all the way down to the end of the fence line, and you're like, okay, come back in, and try to wrangle them in. But, I mean, it's a good time, though. That age group is definitely the most fun.
You have to keep your camera ready, because any time could be the next kid be a YouTube sensation.
That's a fact.
Hey, let's move on into your 8U program. Let's talk about how many kids you have, and, you know, maybe if you want, I don't know if you know all your coaches off top of your head or anything like that, but start shouting out some of the people who make Frankfort baseball happen.
Yeah, we have the 8U coaches would be Jose Marquecho, and his boy's actually playing in 10U, so he's stepped up to coach an 8U team because they didn't have a coach. And the other coach is Eli Smith. He's got two young kids that they're playing up, so he could coach that team. 10U, we have myself. I'm coaching the Frankfort Eagles team. And then Jonas Linehan, he owns Ross Commons, and he's a big part of the community as well. 12U, we have Kevin Wilkins. He's been a part of the program for a long time. He played Frankfort baseball. And the other one is Corey Haas. So we have a lot of people from a lot of places joining as coaches and volunteers.
Our guest this first quarter, or first inning today, I guess, since it's spring sports, is John Eason. He with Frankfort Little League. Are you the president, John?
Vice president.
Vice president, okay. I couldn't remember if you were still running or not, but appreciate you calling in here this morning. But let's talk a little bit about how you guys run your program. I think you play internally for a while, and then you start playing the other community schools, or like the Colfax and the Mulberry teams that make up Clinton Prairie Rec League, and then you also play Rossville and some teams like that. And then you kind of transition later in the year into a town and country situation. You're not so much in the Little League anymore, if I'm not correct. Go ahead.
Yep. So opening day, we usually just play each other, just play ourselves, and then we have, for 8U, 10U, 12U, we play, Michigan Town plays with us, Prairie plays with us, Rossville, and this year we actually brought in Western Boone. Western Boone had their opening day last week, so we had one team go out to play in Janestown, which is a little bit of a drive, but it was a nice field, a nice game out there, a nice good atmosphere out there to play with them. So once all that wraps up, middle of June we'll have an end of season tournament, which all the county schools will play each other, and then we'll see who's the best at 8U, 10U, 12U, and then after that we will go into a town and country tournament, which will take our top players from our team. Prairie will take their top, Michigan Town and Rossville. And then hopefully, Rossville usually has a pretty good team. Frankfort had a good team last year for 12U. They won district, got second in semi-state, and then state was a little bit tough. 10U did decent, got second in district, and then we fell off. That was my boys' team. We fell off in semi-state. We ran into some good competition there. And then I think 8U had Rossville's 8U team, I think, got second in semi-state, and they were really tough to beat.
In town and country, if you're new to that, especially if you're a Frankfort person, you're used to being Little League. Little League's kind of gone away here in the state of Indiana a little bit. I know you got that Little League facility down there by the Zionsville exit off I-65, but I think the fees and a lot of things going into Little League that a lot of our communities can't meet anymore. So you guys went town and country. Town and country started probably, I don't know, 20-some years ago by two guys in Delphi in a 10-county hub of just maybe not even that big at the time, but maybe it's 30, 40 counties in the northern half of Indiana play town and country baseball. And there's like four or five districts. And as you were talking about, you play, you know, into your district and then your semi-state and state, and it's a big deal for these kids to do that.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, like you said, the requirements and everything for Little League is harder for the little or smaller groups to meet, and the amount of money you have to give them and everything else, it's a little bit sad. I mean, we can't hold the name as Little League because it's trademarked and everything else. But yeah, and then once you get into like All-Stars, there's 40 or 50 teams in each age group playing for to be the best in the state of Indiana for town and country. It's nice. It's nice to see the kids. It's nice to see different areas. You're like, I've never even heard of that team or whatever. And most of them are good kids, good and real good games. So
I think it stretches as far as Covington to the west and east of Muncie, Winchester areas over there to the east, and as far north as almost to Fort Wayne, all the way over to Plymouth. So it's a lot of small towns. Rossville is probably the perfect size for that, for a community. I mean, they've done well. Sometimes they just have one team but plays all year. And then they've had a lot of success in it. And, of course, when Frankfort switched over 3 or 4 years ago, Frankfort has been to the state finals in a couple different age groups, if I'm not mistaken, John.
Yeah, that's correct. And we got plaques. I think there was a group of kids that won. They won 8U state, won 10U state, won 12U state, and they stayed together. And that's always good if you can keep those kids together for that long, because then once they get into middle school and high school and stuff, they've had that camaraderie, they've had that teamwork, and they've built that for that many years. It's really nice to see that.
You talked earlier about Jeff Emery and that award. I think that's a special award for the Frankfort people. And if you remember Jeff, I think he coached and was an umpire a long time for the Frankfort program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was before I got into it. But, yeah, that is for the it wouldn't be our best athlete, but just the one that's, like, overall, all around, like, the one you're like, hey, that's the kid that you want my kid to be like, you know. They're very respectful on the field. They're not arguing with people. They're helping other kids up, not in line, telling the other team they're not very good or whatever. And this day with when you see like professional athletes and how they act, and you're like, please don't act like that. And because most of the time they just get a little bit rowdy and a little bit crazy. I mean, I know it's mostly for show. So then the kids are like, well, it's for show. And I'm like, yeah, but you also have to have good sportsmanship and be a good team player too.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think it's hard for young kids nowadays to you know, find out that you're not really supposed to act that way. And like you said, you know, you're supposed to be a good team sport, and sometimes they don't always put the best display on at the professional level.
That's correct.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about your sponsorship and what the community needs to do to make Frankfort baseball even better.
Yes, sir. We have sponsors that purchase signs from us. We have sponsors that do uniforms. We have I believe we have bleacher sponsors. We have a whole bunch of different opportunities, or just if you want to send in donations, we can be reached at the Frankfort Youth Baseball League on Facebook. That's our biggest. That's where a lot of people are. That's where our biggest contributions go to. But we had last year, I don't know if you, all the winds and stuff came through, and they messed up a lot of stuff at our Eastside Park, and insurance, how insurance works is they weren't very nice to us, and we had like $20,000 worth of damage, and I think they gave us about $5,000 worth to fix it all. So there's a lot of stuff we need to fix up and stuff, and find a way to get some money in so we can get those things fixed for those kids.
That was going to be my next question. You guys play at the TPA Park, at the traditional Little League field, or I guess Frankfort Baseball Field now, there on probably the southwest corner. And then can you explain the east side and maybe some of that damage and what the community can do to help you out? Maybe there's somebody listening here today that can start working on this with you.
Yeah, so Eastside Park is now called the Ference Lawrence Park, right across the street from the middle school. But if you live here forever, you'll probably always call it Eastside mm-hmm. Park. We had the strong winds come in. They bent up our two of the three of our batting cages. So those are bent down. It's not like we can't bend it back up because of the whatever it is, the galvanized steel or whatever it is. And the bleachers got pushed into the fence. So if you look at the top of the fence, it pushed in as well. If you're listening and you would like to donate to that cause or whatever, you can reach us at the Frankfort Youth Baseball League, or you can contact me personally if you'd like to. You want me to give my phone number on here?
Yeah, if you like, it's up to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm the vice president, and my phone number is 765-242-3758. You can call me or text me or whatever, and we can see how you would like to help. Volunteers are at an all-time low for most things. And it's kind of sad because we enjoy seeing these kids come out and playing and stuff, but the people in the background are making it happen. There's fewer and fewer every year. So, and it's harder because, like, I personally am coaching my 10U team, my boys' 6U team, plus help trying to run the league. And it's a lot, but I enjoy it, so it's not as bad to me.
Well, if you'd like to volunteer or, you know, donate some money, I'm sure they can find you at the ballpark most nights here between now and the 1st of July.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, John, I really appreciate you being on. We're going to have to move on to the second quarter, but thank you. Sorry about today and missing out on your opening day for Frankfort baseball, but maybe next week. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll be right back. Andrew Quinn, Clinton Central baseball coach, up next.
Are you looking for ways to prosper in 2024? Then choose Winsky Brothers. Why make mere pennies when you can make dollars? Winsky Brothers is your one-stop solution for all your scrap metal processing, new and used steel sales, and roll-off waste removal needs. Winsky Brothers is number one in customer service and serves Boone, Carroll, Clinton, Tipton counties, and beyond. Visit Winsky Brothers on West Washington Street in Frankfort or online at winskybrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, making more happen for you.
If you need help with getting health coverage, quitting smoking or vaping, resources for a healthy pregnancy, testing for pregnancy or sexually transmitted infections, or getting treatment for mental health or addiction, just call Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063. That's Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063. Healthy Communities of Clinton County, where they help make the healthy choice the easy choice.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the Good Driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Attention, all gardeners and landscapers. Are you ready to take your outdoor projects to the next level? Barrett Farms is here to help. From rich black to dark brown mulch, Barrett Farms has the mulch you need to make your landscape pop. Call for an appointment now for convenient pickup or delivery. Barrett Farms is also your go-to source for drainage solutions, including top-of-the-line tile and fittings and durable straw blankets. Call Barrett Farms today, 765-654-8347.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle. We're moving into the second inning this week. I want to thank our sponsors here before we start talking with Andrew Quinn, the Clinton Central Baseball. We have Susan Casper State Farm, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farms Incorporated, and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. Can't thank them enough. The show would not happen without these people. Hey, Coach, good morning. Thanks for being on.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, I'm not sure we've even had you on this year. If we did, it was a Saturday I missed. But let's talk a little bit about Bulldog Baseball and where you're headed. I'm sure you're like everybody else, and today's no exception. The weather has been the story this year of playing spring sports.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy spring for us so far. It's been really tough for the boys because I know that they're always itching to play. But, you know, we've done the best that we can with the weather. You know, luckily we were able to get our conference game with Sheridan in last night, even though we got a little bit of rain there in the afternoon. But we got a lot of kids that were able to help out, all hands on deck, putting Diamond Draw on the infield. And we were able to get the game in last night. But, you know, we've only gotten seven full games in so far. So I know that we're going to be a little bit short, just like everybody else, in terms of getting our, you know, our full slate of games in. We've had to do a lot of rescheduling because of rainouts, but we're doing the best that we can to get through. And like I said, I feel for the boys, but I know that they're enjoying getting to play when they get a chance to.
Well, give you a heads up about something if you didn't already know. Clinton Praise took advantage of it, and I think Frankfurt has. And then Rossville last night, they moved their game with Lafayette Central Catholic real quick over to Loeb Stadium to start a later 7:30 start to play on the turf. And I guess the cost of doing that and even doing it at the last minute is not that much.
So, okay. Well, we'll definitely have to look into that, especially if we're playing more schools up around that area.
All right. Hey, let's hear a little about your Bulldogs this year. Let's start with your pitching. Who you got on the mound?
Well, we got a lot of arms this year. We have a lot of depth. You know, so far we've probably had about 10 or 11 kids that have pitched for us in varsity games up to this point. I'll give a shout out to our two conference starters right now, Luke Davison and Dylan Heaton. They've both pitched really, really well to start the season. Dylan's got, I think, 25 strikeouts and only 4 walks to start the year. So he's throwing a ton of strikes and competing. And we're playing really good defense behind him as well. And then Luke's a senior for us this year. You know, he's been a pitcher for us for the last 3+ seasons. And he's been looking really sharp to start the year as well. But we've got a lot of arms. We've got a lot of depth on the mound this year. You know, we've had a little bit of struggles with issuing some free passes, especially with some of our bullpen arms. But, you know, it's still so early for us in the year. I am really excited about the depth. I feel like we got a lot of guys that we can run out of the stable this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing those guys continue to progress as the year goes on.
Any other Bulldogs you'd like to highlight there that work in the infield or outfield is making the team successful this year?
Yeah, absolutely. you know, we have a luxury of having a lot of returning players this year. You know, primarily our lineup consists of juniors, sophomores, and a couple of seniors. Seniors other than Luke Davison, we have Cy Webster and Zayden Moore, both of those guys are really good team players for us. Cy's been doing a lot for us on the bases so far this year. In the outfield, we have a lot of versatility everywhere. So, you know, our outfield guys, a lot of them can also play infield. But primarily in the outfield so far this year, we've had Dylan when he doesn't pitch. Brady Boone, who's a sophomore, he played a lot of outfield for us last year as a freshman. But he can play pretty much anywhere in the outfield, and he's a good pitcher for us as well in relief. You know, I'm sure he'll probably start every now and then for us on the mound too, but he's an arm that we can bring out of the bullpen. Clayton Stevens, who's a junior, He's coming off of an injury from last year, but he just does all the little things right. He's a tremendously hard worker. He backs up bases really well in the outfield. I just have a ton of faith in him, knowing that he's going to be where he needs to be, and he really competes in the batter's box for us at the plate. And again, another relief pitcher for us. Clayton's been having a good spring so far this year on the mound. And then across the infield, Carson O'Brien has been our primary third baseman. Carson's also been a big relief pitcher for us so far this year. Lawrence Lefebvre is a junior for us. He also can play some third and play some outfield. He's got a pretty good bat, too, so when he's not in the field, we tend to get him in as a DH. When Luke Davison's not pitching, he plays short. When he pitches, we have a freshman, Jeffrey Schelling, who has been picking it pretty well up the middle for us. He plays short and second, and he's been swinging a pretty hot bat so far to start his high school career. And then Creed Menon is kind of a super utility for us. He's a sophomore. He started a lot for us last year, and we've kind of asked him to move around and try some different things out. So he's pitched, he's played outfield, he's played some infield, and Creed's a really good athlete. So I have a ton of faith in him, really, no matter where we put him on the field. And then Daniel Holton, he's been playing a lot of first base for us this year. We're trying to get him right. He's had a little bit of a nagging shoulder injury, so he's been a guy that threw a ton of innings for us as a freshman and sophomore, and we haven't been able to get him on a mound yet in a game, but we are working him back in practice. He's thrown a couple of bullpens, so hopefully we'll see him getting on the mound here in a varsity game here pretty soon. And then Cole Davison's behind the plate for us again this year. He's a junior. He's caught probably close to 99% of the innings since his freshman year for us. He's really durable. I know he's been dealing with a couple nagging injuries here and there, but he's doing a great job behind the plate working with our pitchers, and he's got a pretty hot bat right now. I think he's leading the team in hits and RBIs for us. So that's kind of where we're lining up defensively right now. Like I said, you know, we got a ton of depth on the mound, and we're in a good spot this year where we've got a little bit of depth defensively as well. So those are our main contributors right now.
Our guest here in the second inning of the Inside the Huddle this week is Andrew Quinn, the coach of the Clinton Central Bulldogs. Hey, Coach, you said you've got seven games in so far this year. Let's talk a little bit about some of those games and maybe one or two of them that Bulldogs were successful in.
Sure. Well, right now in conference play, we are 2-1-1. We actually had a little bit of some technical difficulties with that game that we tied. We played Tri-Central at Sheridan earlier this week under the lights at Sheridan. And the lights kind of went out on us in the fifth inning.
Wow.
So, you know, we'll stay tuned to see if we decide to continue that one or if we're going to leave it as a tie. But a couple of games that have stood out to me, I think the first one was when we played Rossville a couple weeks ago. It was our first conference game. Rossville's a great program. You know, obviously we see them in sectionals every year as well. And we played a really, really good game against them. They did the same against us. It was a 2-1 game, but, you know, for us it was only our second game of the year. And I felt really, really confident just about where we were at. You know, and like I said, they run a really good program over there. So for us to be able to compete with a school like Rossville early on in the season shows me that, you know, we're probably going to be in a good spot as we get into our stretch run towards the end. And then the second game that stands out to me so far would probably be our first win of the season when we beat Taylor at home 2-0, just because we had such a solid pitching performance on the mound from Dylan Heaton. Dylan threw all seven innings, had 17 strikeouts and a shutout, and threw his first no-hitter at the high school level. So that was a pretty special day for him and just for us as a team to get that first win of the season.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about the Hoosier Heartland Division and some of those teams that are, you know, up there at the top, and it sounds like you guys are right there with them?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been pretty fortunate to get off to a pretty good start in conference play. You know, I know that's one of our goals for this season is to do well in conference play and hopefully have a chance in the tournament, you know, to maybe bring home some hardware. We're really lucky to play in such a talented conference. You know, there's a mix of 2A and 1A schools, so there's always good competition for us no matter who we're playing. But, you know, we've, from being around the last three seasons and this being my fourth season, you know, we've got a pretty good feel of what teams have and, you know, where they're talented at and as well maybe where some of their weaknesses are. But each team just presents a new challenge for us. You know, we have to game plan for, you know, for Eastern a little differently than we have to game plan for Rossville and a little differently than we have to game plan for Carroll and for Delphi. But we look forward to the challenge of getting to play against some of those schools. And I know that where we're at as a program, you know, I think that we're at a place where we feel like we can go out and we can compete with anybody. It doesn't matter who we're lining up against in the other dugout. We feel like, you know, when we've got our best guys on the mound and our best guys in the field, that we've got a chance to win no matter who we play. But the competition is great for us. And like I said, I know that the boys get a little bit extra excited when we've got a conference opponent.
I think the Rossville coach mentioned a few weeks ago your guys' sectional has moved from Tri-County, I believe, to Frontier. And can you talk a little bit about that, if that's true, and the Bulldogs are still playing there?
Yeah, we are still in the same sectional. I have heard that we are going back to Frontier, which that's where we were at my very first year. I love going to Frontier. They've got an awesome facility there, and especially when you get the sunset and you get to play under the lights there, it's a pretty cool place to play baseball. But
and the windmills in the background.
Yeah, that. Say again.
And the windmills in the background, that's got to be a little bit different.
Well, yeah, that is a little bit different. We don't see very many of those in Clinton County. It is an interesting ride, whether we're going up there or whether we're going up to North White to play, because you get to drive through all those wind farms. But yeah, no, it's a really cool experience. And, you know, fortunately for us, the last time that we played Rossville at Frontier, we were able to come away with the sectional championship. So who knows, maybe the stars will align for us again this year.
Well, Coach, we thank you for being on this morning. I know it went quick, but, man, you gave us a lot of great information about the Bulldogs, and we'll hopefully catch up with you here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Appreciate you guys having me on, as always, and have a great rest of your guys' weekend.
Thank you. We're speaking with Andrew Quinn, the Clinton Central baseball coach, and want to thank our sponsors, Susan Casper State Farm, Winsky Brothers, Barrett Farms Incorporated, and Healthy Communities of Clinton County.